We talked about the nature of God last week on Father's Day. And this morning, I'm going to teach on the nature of salvation, which is such a rich subject. Now, I want to read 1 John 3, verse 9 through 11, then we're going to pray. Here's what the scripture says, that whoever's been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. This is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you for the spirit of love in this house. And I pray, God, that we just would be a people who walk in love, have revelation of love. I thank you that you're at work in our hearts and minds, building us up today. And I pray you'd help me teach this message clearly today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I think today or tomorrow was like the first day of summer. Isn't that right? Yesterday, it rained the whole night long. Mountains, they got snow. And I mean, winter was just a few months ago. Anyone remember what happened in February? We got record snow. You know, when you get record snow, you have to drive your wife and your mother-in-law and your children into work and school. So I'm driving down 56th Street in my Suburban with four-wheel drive, and I'm telling them all the way, look at these clowns in the ditch. I don't ever go in the ditch. That's what I was telling them. Well, and right around the corner over here, I took that thing a little sharp, and there we were in the ditch. All right, now, I went out to inspect. So I come over to the side of the car in the back. I took one step down to see how down it was, and I got stuck in the snow. My legs pinned under me. I couldn't move. And I was there for a good 3 or 4 minutes going, help, help. And I'm screaming to Elizabeth. She's like on her phone. I started thinking about people who died of hypothermia. You know. I mean, finally, somebody noticed, where's Dad? So Elizabeth, you know, kind of half laughing and kind of like, oh my goodness. She came out of the car. I said, don't open the door. Don't fall in the ditch. You know, go around the side. So she came over and she reached down and she pulled me out and she saved me. Oh, she saved me. What does it mean to be saved? That's sort of a Christianese term, right? Save, that's what we throw out there. Save means you've been delivered from sin. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's like a whole series on redemption, man. It means you've been justified, just as if I had never sinned. It means you're righteous in the eyes of God. It means you've been recreated. That's your spirit man's been made new. You've been regenerated, made alive, born again. It means you've been translated from death to light and from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. It's interesting that the scripture says you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so salvation is closely aligned with this thing called sanctification. That is a major doctrine that I will be teaching on next week. This morning I'm talking about salvation. It's all those things. It's everything that God did for us. It wrapped us all together. And what I want to do this morning specifically is highlight the evidence for salvation, that through faith, God does an incredible work in your life. And I was reading here in 3 John, and these verses came to me. So the Lord put these on my heart. Now I'm going to read verse 9. We started with this verse. Whoever is born of God does not sin, for seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So the first word that I want to highlight when I read that verse is the word holiness. Here's the evidence a person's been born again. A person who truly becomes saved desires to live a godly life. That means that they've been born of God. They're born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It's what Peter called the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And it is an intriguing verse. This verse is best understood as a person who's truly born again does not go on continuing in sin. They don't continue with it. Now, you might slip up, you might struggle, but it's not something that's an ongoing thing. Now, I remember dedicating my life May 15, 1998. And I, at that moment, I had a greater desire to serve God than I ever had to keep on in sin. I just wanted to serve God. I wanted to keep going after him. So holiness in like the simplest form. is this separation from sin. When you say holy or you say the word consecrated, it means that you are separated from sin. It means you don't want to allow it in your life. So when I am tempted to sin, like lying or cheating, or, you know, I might be tempted to steal. I might be tempted to get drunk or say something nasty to my wife. The desire to honor God, that comes alive in my heart. And I want to do that. I want to surrender and submit to him. You know, I was realizing something interesting the other day. The main goal of a believer, the main thing you should be doing as a Christian, is not just like witnessing to people. You should witness to people. Everywhere you go, you should let your light shine. You should share your faith. And the main goal is not adhering to Scripture. I mean, it is vital that you obey the Scripture, but the very main goal that God has for you as a believer is for you to have close fellowship with God. It's to be totally consumed and submitted to him. And I believe that the more we submit to God's dealings and promptings in our life, the more effective and fruitful that we can be as believers. Now, that sounds wonderful, but don't get me wrong. It requires a real level of spiritual sensitivity and some self-denial and some self-awareness. You know, it's this beautiful rainstorm we had this week, and I was prayer walking. Sometimes, you know, you just go outside and you pray, and I'm walking around the building as I sometimes do, just praying. And as I was walking, suddenly a thought came to me, and it was sort of like a thought about me. I saw something in me that was not submitted to the Lord. It wasn't flattering. And I realized that that's something I had allowed in my life. And I thought, man, I don't want that to continue. I could see that propensity in me. And the Lord was like dealing with it. And so I've just said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to let you have that. When you think about holiness, it's an obedience to his word and his will, which means if he asks me to give, I'm going to give. And if he asks me to serve at VBS, sitting on the log over there, trying to communicate truths to four-year-olds, I'm going to do that. And if he asks me to go, I'm going to go. I was going through my notes from 2023, and I thought the Lord gave me the green light to go to Pakistan. And my wife was a little worried about Pakistan because the State Department said, reconsider travel to Pakistan. But we went to Pakistan. And you never know. Maybe the doors will open in Iran next. And if he asks me to go, I will go. Holiness is like a lifestyle that glorifies and honors God. You know, I was complaining the other day about something to God. Like you've never done that, right? And I had this verse came to me, 1 Corinthians 6. It said, my life is not my own. And suddenly I realized when I was praying, that verse came to me. Some of the things in your life that you don't like are by divine design. And they might be there to mold you and shape you. And God's working in you in spite of maybe difficult situations. Because what God's after is your words, your attitude, your actions. Listen, you got to be very careful. You want to stay in tune with God, stay in the will of God, submitting yourself to him. You know, how can you tell when you're around someone who lives a holy lifestyle? Because you can just sense the purity around them. It's like you have this conviction that you shouldn't say that. Or if you did something foolish, you feel like, ah. And I've met people who I perceive are close to the Lord and live godly, and I've appreciated people like that. Because without holiness, the scripture says no one will ever see the Lord. And I'm just telling you, the first evidence that when a person really becomes saved, it's like they have that desire not to sin. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the seed of God's word grow in my life in such a way that I'm going to cut off unfruitless endeavors. Now, here's the second evidence. And this is such a huge one, and I love teaching through this idea. Now, this is in verse 14, 1 John 3:14. We know that we've passed from death to life. And we know that we got saved, we got born again, because we love the brethren. It says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So the second evidence, which you should obviously be able to see here, is the love of God. People who are born again, they have the love of God in their heart. You know that the Apostle Paul made up an entire new Greek word. The word is agape. It means the love of God. It's a selfless, unconditional, sacrificial love. I'm amazed by Romans 5:5. It says God's placed his love in our hearts. So when you got born again, at the new birth, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, he puts just a drop of his love inside of your heart. And the nature of God, we said, God is love. He puts his nature within us, and that love starts growing in your life. He deposits it there. If you have love for God in your heart, you're not going to be a hater. You're not going to be a murderer. You're going to be someone who loves other people. Now, in case you didn't know, I got this voice thing going on. And I got pretty sick. I mean, we had a fever for 10 days. And, I don't know, my kids got it. My wife got it. And I just was like, well, I can't have a fever for 10 days. I mean, so I probably dealt with it a little late, you know. But I'm telling you, just one good thing about being sick when I did, I chose the perfect time to get sick. And that's because there was a lot of stuff going on in the news. So I got to sit in that couch, and I got to watch all kinds of news. And I got to see Last of the Mohicans, which I hadn't seen forever. I love that one. I watched it twice. And I watched the 1936 version. That was fun, too. All right, so what's going on in the news last week and this week is this little old thing with Israel. All right. Now, there's a lot of confusion in the world today about Israel. It's because it's an eschatological issue, and people have a hard time defining it. Now, I'm going next week, Elizabeth and I are going to Washington, D.C. We're going to be with a group called Christians United for Israel. Elizabeth got tickets to the White House, so we're going to the White House. And then we're going to Capitol Hill. And we're, you know, working on behalf of people to understand that we should support and defend Israel. And the debate is this. Are the Jews in the land? Is Israel in the land, the biblical Israel? And my response to that is, yes, they are. They are ethnic Jews proven by their DNA, and they've been restored and brought back to the land. And what people miss about this is it's like specifically stated in the Bible in Isaiah 11 and verse 2 when it said that God would restore Israel not once, which he did after the Babylonians took them, but twice. He said, I'll bring them back on eagle's wings. He said he would do it two times. That's never happened in history. You don't see Aztecs and Mayans walking around, but you do see Jewish people, and it is the sign of the last days. And we get to live in a moment where you get to witness the incredible things taking place in the Bible. I'm watching that. I'm amazed by it. But the other thing that grabbed my attention was that some dude in Minnesota started shooting lawmakers at their door. Remember that? Yeah. And then the first thing they say is that he's a Tim Walz appointee. So we assume he's sort of like a left-wing maniac, right? Yeah. And it turns out he's actually a former preacher. Oh, yeah, you can watch him on the internet. And he's up there dancing around, jumping for Jesus. I have a problem with that. Because the scripture I just read to you says you can't be a murderer and have the love of God in your heart, isn't it? You can't really be a Christian and shooting people at their doors, can you? That's not what it says. Yeah, so, you know, the love of God is the evidence that you really are a Christian. And without love, we can say, no, that man needs to repent. That is not the evidence of salvation in someone's life. Now, let's talk about his love. Verse 16. By this we know love because he laid his life down for us. And we ought to also lay our lives down for the brethren. Whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Let me tell you about the love of God. It is generous. It's willing to share its resources, your money, your possessions, and the love of God will compel you to give. And I see this all the time. When there is a need, this is a great church that responds. And I love that. You got generous people here. It's a church filled with loving people who want to bless somebody, and that blesses my soul. The love of God is at work because people see needs. They want to be generous. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we're of the truth and we assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Do you realize the love of God will give you a great sense of confidence, a sense of security? In other words, there's an assurance that he is with you, a confidence that I can approach God, that I can go to him with a problem, and I don't have to worry if he's mad at me. I don't have to wonder if he'll hear me. I don't have to question if I'm truly saved. I just have to accept and receive God's love. And I'm telling you, the love of God would be the answer to half the problems you're facing. When God's love is in your heart, your confidence, your fellowship with him, your ability to just navigate issues in life will just go such a long way. Look at verse 22. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, and we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 6, faith works by love. It is easy to receive answers from God in prayer when you know that you're loved. Because if you stay close to God, it's easy to receive from him. Now, I just had this happen to me because, like, I was pretty sick, man. And I thought to myself, I got to preach, man. I don't want to be sick this long. And so I was down here praying, and I had scriptures I was meditating on. And all of a sudden, I felt the Lord just kind of, his presence came. And I just felt led to just receive healing. So I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to stress. I'm going to receive his healing in my life. And I could just, like, I just sat back there and breathe. And I could feel it easier and easier just coming to me. So I've just decided I'm receiving healing. In this series, I'm going to teach you about divine healing because it is in the scripture. That is a doctrine that we can stand on as believers. And if you really believe that God loves you, that he cares about you personally, he will heal your mind, your body, your soul, because he loves you. He's not trying to keep something from you. The biggest challenge we have is receiving things from God, his love, his goodness in your life. You don't have to be stressed about it. You just have to receive it. Verse 23, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he's given us commandments. So loving one another, that's the great commandment. That means you love without hypocrisy. It means that there's a sincere love of the brother, which means you're able to express it. You can share a compliment with someone. You can identify a talent, a skill when someone's good at it. You can talk to them. And it also means that you're able to speak the truth in love when necessary. You can be honest with people and say, you know what? I think this could be an issue in your life. And if you can communicate that in the love of God, you can go a long way. And as Christians, we should be growing all the time in the love of God. That means we should be serving one another. Do you know that the greatest state of spiritual maturity is not when you're up here preaching at the pulpit? The greatest state of spiritual maturity would be when you know how to love people and serve people and turn the other cheek and be a blessing in someone's life. The highest level of spiritual maturity is knowing how to serve someone and love them with God's love. Abiding in God is the answer to the problems that you need or that you have. It's staying in his love. Because when you get God's love in your life, you will get insights instead of insecurities. You have wisdom instead of worries. And spiritual gifts will flow out of your life naturally because there's the answers that you need right there. God just starts working. So if you really want to know what the evidence for a person who's truly born again is that they are walking in the love of God. You can feel it. You can see it. It's a wonderful thing when you get around someone who you know loves God and God loves them because it's very evident. Now, here's number three. And I want you to go with me to 1 John 5:18, the end of the book. Another verse like 1 John 3:9. He said this. He said, whoever is born of God, that means you're born again, you become saved. He said it again. He does not sin. But he who's been born of God keeps himself from the wicked one, and the wicked one does not touch him. Let's talk about a third word here, which is called perseverance. These are the evidences for people who are saved. They live holy lifestyles. Doesn't mean that they don't ever sin. It means they're able not to sin, right? The love of God is working in their life. And number three, we got this word called perseverance. That's a steadfast endurance in faith and patience and practice in the face of hardships and trials, and you're continuing to move forward. And I'm just telling you that we need perseverance for the times that we're living in. It is a distinguishing mark of a believer. Think about what Jesus said in Luke 21:19. He said, in the pressure of the last days, when people's hearts will be failing, he said, in your patience possess your soul. That perseverance that you and I have to cling to the Lord in difficult moments is evidence of the fact that we are born again. It's interesting to me, verse 19, 1 John 5:19, it says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now think about the state of the affairs in the world. You got Supreme Court justices who cannot define what a woman is. And then they got to go to court battles to determine if the state or if the parents can dictate the future of the child. And so we've got like deception where evil is being called good. Good is being ridiculed in some quarters. And think about the perversion and the foolishness that's existing. It's like, man, you can just kind of see that the world is under the sway of the wicked one. Lots of deceptions. Deceptions are what Paul wrote about 1 Timothy called doctrines of demons. And if you get off on your doctrine, what happens is it starts to affect your behavior, decisions that you make. And what's also interesting is that bad doctrine, according to 2 Thessalonians, can unsettle your soul. Which is why people get all tripped up about Israel and the end times. Because you really got to understand the picture and the scenario of what's taking place in the world so that you can live with the peace of God. Now, I know when someone really is born again, because it's evidenced in their endurance. This is a doctrine known as the perseverance of the saints. It's that God's grace sustains believers and enables them to endure in the face of trouble. It's like an umbrella that covers you from the rain. Now, I wanted to go camping today. I went camping 2 weeks ago, and it rained then. Remember, we went to West Boulder, didn't we? Yeah, and I brought my son and his cousin and his cousin. And you know what? It started hailing up there on us. And I was like, oh, it'll be all right. So we had a mad scramble. We got the easy up. We had like 10-year-old boys grab one side, and they were moving that thing around, and they were wrestling with it. We tried to get that thing up, and we finally got it up as the hail was coming on us, and we got it put in place, and water was all around us, but we got a fire going, and we're all right. There's nothing better than for a 10-year-old boy to have to struggle during a hailstorm with an easy up. That makes them men. That's what grace is, man. It's that covering over you when the storm is coming, and it keeps you from the hail, and it keeps you from the rain. Yeah. See, being born of God, a person who's born of God, they keep themselves. That's called perseverance. It means you're aware of dangerous situations. My wife will often quote a verse to me from the book of Proverbs. She will say, a wise man foresees evil and hides himself. And I've learned many times, if I see trouble coming, I will go hide myself because I'm trying to keep myself. You got to persevere sometimes through tests and trials. You know, tests and trials come in various shapes and sizes, don't they? They're unpredictable. They come in moments when you don't expect them. But they often strengthen you. They work something in you to give you hope, patience, joy. It makes you a better man. You keep yourself through failures and successes. Now, people assume that the hardest thing is when you fall on your face and you have a failure. Actually, those are the places where you can learn from. Failures make you wiser. But the hardest thing to handle, success. Success is his own creature. Y'all ever heard of this dude named Jelly Roll? All right, he's like the big singer right now. Now, I don't know if you know the history. The dude has been in prison. Somewhere along the way, they figured out this Jelly Roll of a man is an extraordinary singer, right? So he's singing, and he starts becoming pretty well known. He's pretty famous. He's like A-lister right now. But he becomes a Christian because that's how he's raised. So he says, I want to live God. He starts hanging out with people like Brandon Lake, who's, you know, a worship leader, and they're singing. And they were telling the story. I was watching him and Brandon Lake. Jelly rolls up on Nashville on the bridge somewhere with his phone. And he's realizing all this success and everyone pulling at him and all the things he's going through have started to weaken his faith and made him backslide. So he sat there looking at his phone. He decided that phone needed to get thrown out off that bridge into the river because he said, too many people have my number. He said, I want a select few people to have my number because I don't want to backslide. That's how you handle success well. It is understanding that it can be a very destructive force if you can't handle it in your life. You keep yourself faithful and finish what you started. That's what Jesus told the church of Thyatira. If you keep my works to the end, I'll be with you. See, if God calls you to do something, you stick with it. This verse, 1 John 5:19. It highlights perseverance and protection. That if you keep yourself, God will protect you. And his grace will sustain you. So God will warn you. And I'm telling you, he's warned me on numerous situations. He's warned me about sin in my life. I can go back to high school. And I would have a moment where I was very tempted to sin. And somehow, God in his marvelous grace would give me a dream. Don't do that. And then the same thing happened when I went to ORU. I was tempted to sin. And God supernaturally visited me. And I didn't do that. And I've had him on more than one occasion wake me up in the middle of the night and reveal things to me that were uncomfortable that I didn't want to have to say no to. But I did, because God was warning me. He was protecting me. He knew how to get a hold of my heart. So the thing about sin is it'll cost you more than you want to pay and take you further than you want to go. There's some moments when you have to separate yourself from situations and people. And the problem is that sometimes I have a tendency to be a people pleaser, and you cannot please people and please God. But if you listen to God, he will get you through things. So you got to persevere all the way to the end. I think about that verse in James chapter 5, we count them blessed who endure. He talked about the perseverance of Job and the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And if you will endure to the end, tell me, God will be with you. He will help you when you get stuck out in the snow. He will help give your wife the strength to pull you out. He'll be right there for you. Yeah. Are you saved? Ask that question. Are you saved? You better be having an answer for that one. Let's talk about the evidence of this thing, all right? Are you living in such a way that honors God, all right? What's your lifestyle look like? We all do have certain struggles with sin. That's sanctification. We'll talk about that next week, okay? But there should be a desire in your life that says, I don't want this sin to hold me and trip me up. I want to be holding to that thing. God has put a seed in my heart, and I want to bend my heart towards him. And I want to live a lifestyle that pleases and honors him. I want to submit myself to God fully and totally. I want to be able to say, Lord, here am I. And I want to surrender to you. That's a prayer that I pray. That's a dangerous prayer. Because if you're serious about some of that, God will start confronting you about things in your life. Because you know, when you start talking about holiness, for you to get close to God is a dangerous thing. He will start taking things out of your life. But a person who really is saved is like, Lord, here I am, take all of me. It's a desire to live for him alone. And I have discovered in difficult moments, in difficult seasons, that if you stick with God and let that whole process have its work out in your life, that he will show himself strong and faithful, and he will make you more like him than you thought you could be just by going through some difficult moments, all right? What about your love walk, all right? I know people who are all talk and no action. I know people who say big things, but when the push comes to shove, they're not gonna go the extra mile. You know, we were back, I think it must have been February again. We had a woman at church over here on this road. And she drove the car into the ditch, slid right off the road. So, you know, I was out there and we're trying to figure out how to get her back on the road. And it was Daniel and myself and my buddy Jaron back in the sound booth. And we're trying to figure out how to get the car around it. And in my mind, I was like, I'm in the car. I got the easy job. I don't want to have to go there and hook the rope up under the car. But my buddy Jaron, who was in the Marine Corps, he's always up for the challenge. So I watched him. He got down on his knees, on his back, and he got that rope hooked up, and he was able to get it set so we could pull her back on. But that never left my mind, because that's a very loving, serving thing to do. You know, he was willing to just kind of make that effort. And in my mind, I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. Yeah. But he did it. I watched him. And I can look at an example like that, and I can see that God is working in someone's life. The highest level of spiritual maturity you're going to attain to is when you can love people and be a servant. That's high as you get, is when you just know how to be a blessing, love somebody, serve them. That would be the evidence that God really is working in your life. And what about your enduring? Oh, man, you think about this life as a vapor. This life goes so fast. It's like boom. And the pressure is on in this moment we're living in. The pressure in the world today is incredible. But if you and I just stay consistent and faithful, we just, little by little, you know, I was thinking about a book I read called Entre Leadership by Dave Ramsey. He said in the book, he talked about to a billionaire. And the billionaire was telling people, you know, how to have like success. And the thing he said was that the tortoise always wins the race. So some people, they want to run their race and they get wore out. But endurance and perseverance is when you are just like, little by little, daily, little by little, I'm moving forward, I'm continuing, I'm persevering. And at the end of time, that pays great dividends. It's that little by little, that perseverance, that's where you can see that God is working in your life. So I want to pray this over you. I want to just pray for the nature of God's salvation to be at work in your life. We can't pray for the love of God to be put in you because it's already been put in you. You just have to practice it. But I want to pray that God gives you the right perspectives to endure and to live for him. So I pray that in Jesus' name. I pray a holy fire that would burn away chaff. I pray that people living in sin, I pray people who are intrigued by it and caught up with it, fascinated by it, I pray the fire of God would just burn that away. I pray that consequences would come in your life in such a way it makes it difficult. And you realize the only thing you can do is turn back to God. Yeah, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over this whole group of people, I pray for a strong, focused, endurant race that we would run and not be weary and walk and not faint. I pray in the name of Jesus for the people of God to run that race. Run in such a way that you might obtain that prize. Go after it every day in Jesus' name. And I come over here with these guys, my friends from Teen Challenge. Now, I love these men. And I get to work, you know, with some of the leaders of doing it. It is a difficult thing what they attempt to do at Teen Challenge because they have to submit and go through crucibles and difficult things. I want to pray the grace of God over you. Can you reach a hand over these men? Yeah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray to each over. I feel like the Lord knows the very hairs of your head. And even in moments when you feel tempted to give up and frustrated and turn your back on him and go get high or do whatever it is that you're tempted, I just pray right now the grace of God to protect them, to help them endure, to stay focused, to finish that race. I pray that in Jesus' name, that you'll walk and not faint. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I feel something funny this morning. I felt like, I got up this morning, you can ask my wife, I was coughing everywhere. I don't know if I could do this, but I had felt the Lord visited me on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, tell me it was all right. And it has been all right. I felt like God strengthened me. And I felt like that was evidence of something supernatural, right? So, you know, miracles come in all shapes and sizes. You know, like a healing is a progressive thing. A miracle happens instantaneously. But miracles, there's a wide array of them. Now, the last time I had this woman here at church, it was years ago, we pulled her out of the crowd. We did an offering for her. Monica, you remember that? Remember that? All right. And that touched a lot of people. I want to pray for a miracle for you. This woman needs a miracle. She needs to move back to Montana. She's in Iowa. I just believe that God can do a miracle. Do you believe that, Monica? It would be a miracle, wouldn't it? Yeah. I'm telling you, you know what's funny? I can't explain. I feel heat on my hands and my head. All right, I believe God's going to supernaturally deliver you, make a way for you. Okay? So would you reach a hand out to Lonica right here? All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you'd open that door, make a way for that family. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for a future and a hope, the expectation of good things to come. Father, I thank you that you can do anything. You can open any door. So I pray in Jesus' name for household salvation, restoration. And God, I thank you that just like the children of Israel who were away from their land and came back to their land, that you can bring her back into the land. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, what a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Let me ask you one more question. Are you saved? Are you saved? You know, maybe your heart's right now convicting you and you think, I don't know if I'm right with the Lord or not. So I'll just give you a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those evidences run your life. If they're not, I just want you to put a hand up. And I want to pray with you. I see that hand. Yeah, I see that hand. All right, so let's just pray. Let's just pray. Say, Father God, thank you for the seed of your word coming into my life. Thank you for making me new and giving me a desire to follow after you. I receive your word in my heart to change me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that and you're sincere, I'd love to pray with you, connect with you, encourage you, get plugged into a church, get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. Man, I just feel God's presence here. You all feel that? Let's go ahead and stand up this morning. I do. I'm telling you, I feel like from where I started this morning to where I'm at now, it's like the supernatural grace of God just to bring miracles and healing into my life. So, hey, if you want prayer, the altars are open. And I can't help but just, I have this great sense of grace being right here, right now in this service. This would be a great moment to receive something from the Lord. If you've got questions, troubles, answers, something in your body, it would be a wonderful time to pray. And I want to just encourage you, the altars are open. We love you very much. This is our last week of VBS, so I do need help moving these chairs. So I think we're moving the first three rows. We can stack them up, put them over the side, and give me your best yee-haw while you're doing it. That would be wonderful. I love you all very much. If you want prayer, we're here for you.